It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
April 3rd. It's KM to 2 a.m. Let's get into some Major League Baseball news as we are into the season for real, and things are happening. And there's a trend today. Guys are getting paid. Guys are getting locked up. Guys are getting extensions. And I thought it was interesting today. One, Jackson Merrill, who's a young phenom. You know, I woke up today and I saw that news. I saw the, let me see if I go to my notes. Ken Rosenthal had it out there that Jackson Merrill signs his extension for $135 million, 9 years. And, you know, the young center fielder has the ability to get that up to $204 million with a $30 million club option for a 10th season. You know, the Padres' current payroll ranks ninth in the majors, and you obviously know about you might not know about the death of their owner and the dispute that was going on between his wife and the owner's brothers. And, you know, obviously they didn't keep Juan Soto. They traded him to the Yankees because they were never going to pay him. So when I heard this today, it made me think about Jackson Merrill and his relationship with Juan Soto, if they had one a couple years back in camp. Let's hear what Jackson Merrill had to say today at his press conference celebrating signing for, you know, pretty much the rest of his career with the Padres and for a steal of a deal of a friendly contract for the Dads.
I think just even hearing like an opportunity to sign with the San Diego Padres is enough for me, you know, but I also feel like there comes a line where you know your worth, you know your value. Listen, I know like there's contracts out there that are beyond absurd. They're super amounts of money, but having a relationship with a real human being and a real team like I have here, you can't beat that, you know? You can't just sign for $700 million and want everything to be perfect, you know? I got people all around the clubhouse that are supporting me, supporting my family. You know, they ask about my personal life every day. So, you know, I'm just gracious for that. And I know that's going to be the same way for the next 9 years.
So, yeah, he knows there's some contracts out there that are beyond absurd. But he talked about relationships and the people in the building that support him and knowing where he wants to be. And what I always say is, you know, you can't turn down your first fortune. I'm waiting for mine. I'm waiting for that first day I see that number on a piece of paper where I'm like, done. You got me. 888-808-1019. But, yeah, the young man signed, and he threw some shade at Juan Soto. And it made me think, right? He was in camp with Juan Soto. He burst on the scene last year when Juan Soto was a Yankee. But the year before, he was in the Padres organization. Did him and Juan Soto not get along? I always hear little rumblings on Twitter from Padres Twitter that, like, you know, the reason that the vibes weren't good with Tatis, with Machado, with the Padres was because of Soto. Interesting. And I said we were going to talk about Soto. I was watching the Rico Bronya podcast while I was sitting in there. And there were some people in the chat talking about Juan Soto not doing his patented Soto shuffle. Juan Soto not celebrating Pete Alonso's success today. I mean, you know, when Judge did anything, Soto and Judge had a whole handshake, put a crown on your head, put an S on your chest. He doesn't have a Pete Alonso handshake. He didn't seem to be so excited for the polar bear. I think it's just because he's struggling a little bit. He had some pitches to hit. He was rolling over the ball. He was killing ants. And like I said, he's back in Miami where he lives. He probably wanted to ball out. He probably wanted to do his thing. He's struggling a little bit for Soto standards, and Soto is a guy that he's got high standards for himself. 888-808-1019. Also, you know, the Red Sox lock up Garrett Crochet, and then today they signed an 8-year extension with their 23-year-old rookie, Christian Campbell. So they're not letting their guys go. They let Chaim Bloom go, and now they're locking up their talent. The Red Sox are keeping their guys, and Rafael Devers, 0 for 21. He comes through. He got a hit. He wasn't selling. He wasn't trying to get traded. He just was struggling early on. You guys make a big deal out of 9, 10, 20 at-bats. But, yeah, nobody's letting their guys go. Ketel Marte. It was a Marte parte as the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees today. Ketel Marte signed a 6-year extension with the Diamondbacks to stay in Arizona. And the rich get richer. As I tell you that Shohei Ohtani walks it off for the Dodgers never stop improving their team. It's admirable. Like, I'm jealous. At every turn, they try to improve their team. Now, this isn't anything crazy, but Estuary Ruiz, the rookie that had 67 stolen bases a couple years ago, the Dodgers make a trade for him from the A's. I guarantee you see him doing some stuff. So 888-808-1019. Guys are getting signed. Guys are getting traded for. And Yankee fans still have to watch Pablo Lopez. And Mets fans still have to watch Brett Beatty. Avery's in St. Louis on the Fan. Welcome back.
Hey, Keith. How are you? How's baseball season started? It's exciting, right? There's always something new to talk about. The drama's on.
Yeah. You know, I'm happy baseball is back. I'm happy that I went to the stadium for the first two games and I saw wins and you know, historic output. And you know what? I got sick Monday and Tuesday, and now Wednesday I'm shaking this cold where I couldn't go up there to the Bronx, and I'm glad, because if I was sitting there not feeling, you know, 100% watching
cold
that.
And everything.
Yep.
Well, you know, I mean, you know what my biggest takeaway from this loss is? I feel like in a lot of ways last year, if we were to get shut out through 8 or whatever, not only would we not be able to do much or get much traction in the 9th, but that game would have featured a good amount of errors that would have been the thing that would have cost us the game. It's been pretty clean so far. I mean, aside from that really bad, I mean, this, when they scored 20 runs, they had 5 errors. But we got to remember, not having Glaber, like, we have to look at the defense a little bit more than I think we give it credit for. It's not perfect, but it's a lot better, especially in the middle infield.
On purpose.
And Bellinger's making great catches in center field.
Yeah.
I don't really know what's going on with Dominguez out in left and why they can't really seem to come to a conclusion about how he fares out there. But
he's
overall,
a barely average fielder.
Right.
Yeah, that was intentional, Avery. After we got mocked all offseason, after they quote-unquote peed down their leg in the fifth inning, that it was intentional to tighten the screws on this thing. The defense is going to be really good, and it's only been a handful of games, and you see they're able to field, they're able to throw. I was at the game where they kind of kicked the ball around a little bit, but like the defense is supposed to be a strength. They're supposed to be able to pitch, and they're supposed to be able to get outs. That was a narrative through the offseason as, you know, you saw the moves that they made. So it's unfortunate that they weren't able to put bat to ball tonight, but, you know, at least they're not embarrassing themselves in the field.
And, you know, I mean, listen, this is one of those losses where you just got to tip your cap to Zach Gallen, I guess. I mean, we did a good job against Burns last night. I think we should have won that game. I didn't like what happened in the eighth one bit. I'm sure everybody else would say the same thing. But tonight, I mean, listen, it happens, unfortunately. That's baseball, like you said. That's baseball, Susan, but it's not Susan's brand of baseball. I just think I just feel like there's reasons to be confident still. You know, obviously still because it's early. I don't mean to like that.
Oh, yeah. Our young shortstop is hitting bombs. Like, we've got these young guys contributing. When you go back to last night, Will Warren, Ben Rice, two nights ago now, good morning, it's Thursday. You know, there's a lot of positives to take from the losses. And you know what? They're going to lose a bunch of games. So, you know, every loss is supposed to be a lesson. They have to take some lessons out of this. I think the lesson tonight was like, hey, you guys got to find a way. You got to jump on these pitchers. And even Rodon, keep the ball in the park, man. Give us a shot, man. Give us a shot. It's cold out there. Give us a shot. But he settled in. And I'm not mad.
He was going through it like you, Keith. He was going through it like you. He had a cold as well.
Did he say he had a cold?
No excuses. No excuses.
Did he say, but is that truth or are you just joking? Did he say in the post game he was sick?
No, I'm serious. He said in the post game he was sick, yes.
Okay, so then I feel a little differently then. He champed it out like I'm champing it out. But I don't have to pitch. I just got to sit here and talk. So maybe, I don't know, maybe he should have passed the rock. But you know what? He's not going to do that because he understands with Cole down, with Heel down, with Schmidt down, they're dependent on me. We didn't have Devin Williams. It's like Rodon, even if he wasn't feeling up to it all the way, like, he went out there and he did all right. They, you know, four runs shouldn't be able to beat him. But with Zach Gallen going like he was going, it is what it is.
And, you know, at least we saved, number one, at least we saved bullpen arms, you know, only using one reliever. And number two, I mean, you know Rodon, he's a little proud. He's going to do that. He's going to go out and he's going to rush it a little bit and try to do whatever he can to be there, even though he might not always have the best stuff. And he was hurling his way through. He was grinding his way through those first two innings. He wasn't spinning the balls right, but he figured it out, you know, which is why I still think this is a positive game. It was close. You're not hitting 20 bombs, you know, the torpedo bat thing, like you said, Rob Manfred, got to bring the Yankees back down to earth, and that's fine. Just because the Dodgers are 8-0, you know, we can be bitter about that. But in the Bronx, you know, I think things are still going to go pretty smoothly, and I believe in the teams, and I think it's going to be a good year.
Thanks for the call, Avery. 888-808-1019. Don't panic. Don't panic. We're just getting started, baby. Don't panic. It's early. Hopefully they don't get swept. But maybe they need to get swept. Have some humble pie. The way that this year started for the Yankees, 3-0, everybody in the country talking about the New York Yankees. They set the record for home runs. 18 home runs in their first six games. The New York Yankees, what are these bats? Oh, my. What is a torpedo bat? Everybody talking about it. People that don't watch baseball, people that don't care about the Yankees, people that don't know who Austin Wells is, don't know who Anthony Volpe is. They're like, the Yankees are cheating. Kathy is in Bayville on the Fan. Hello, Kathy.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Okay. So thank you for taking my call, and I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm always like, I'm counting down the seconds till I can go home and go to sleep, because that's where I feel best these last couple of days.
Yeah, I know. You got to take a lot of water, and, you know, that little kid is getting kind of sick, no? Or are you getting him sick?
Right now, my wife is sick. I'm sick. I think my son is like the only one healthy. He's got a little bit of a cough, but yeah, just You know, it's literally the weather. It was 77 degrees. We all went to the game Saturday. We're in shorts and t-shirts, and I have my winter jacket tonight.
Yeah, you have to, you know, it's just, sometimes we get snow in March, too. So it's kind of a weird situation. You never know what's going to happen in this time frame. So I'm calling because I want to do TTT. Do you know what TTT is? TTT is Talk Torpedo Tonight.
Okay.
Anyway, so let me just let you know something. I need your insight very desperately. Okay, so analytically, if you look at the two bats, I'm not sure my images are correct on my internet, but the bat that has been used for many, many, many decades compared to the torpedo bat, the torpedo bat has like a lot of a wider, you know, wider from the handle or whatever you want to call it to the end. It's like almost looks like an inch wider.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an inch wider. I think what it is like, you know, the top of the bat is smaller, and they made the space where, you know, the sweet spot a little bit thicker, a little bit wider. Go on.
Right. So I understand that. So the regulations, I haven't really looked at the regulations for this. But basically, I mean, what are the regulations for this? Because let's face it, if you get a bat that is going to be 5 inches wider, we're going to have
it's not 5 inches. That's crazy. It's not 5 inches.
In general, I'm just saying, like, I don't know, but in general, the wider the bat, the more propensity. That word I can't think now. The more able is for that bat to hit a ball. The wider that bat is, the more easier it is to hit a ball. Okay, so what gets
the Yankees struck out 30 times in the last two nights, and five of these guys are using the torpedo bats. What I'll say is, like, the diameter, the circumference, like, that is where there's a little bit more space, but there are regulations. I got to go back to my notes to see. I know I had notes from over the weekend because I was like, first off, I didn't even want to talk about torpedo bats because I'm like, this is ridiculous. No, you're good. But when I came on Monday, it's not Monday now. It's Thursday. What I'm saying is I had a bunch of notes on it, and I, having all of this, you know, data and all of this stuff that I wrote down on, I'm like, this is stupid. Like, it doesn't matter. They're not cheating. This isn't something new. They've had it for a while. I'm trying to go back to the article where it talks about, you know, how many ounces the bats are.
I'm sorry to bother you, Dad.
No, you're not bothering me. I've listened to every host on this station take calls on torpedo bats since Monday, and people ask questions. You're not bothering me. I wouldn't have taken the call. What I'm saying is, you know, it's not as drastic as people are making it. Some people are photoshopping it. It's not 5 inches wider. All it is taking it's just taking the bulk of the bat, the you know, the sweet spot of the bat, and what they're doing is they looked at where these guys are putting bat to ball, you know, the spot that, you know, these guys are barreling the ball up, and they're making that the fatter part of the bat. The top of the bat doesn't need to be as wide if you're not hitting the ball with the top of the bat.
I know. I'm just wondering, like, you know, how the regulations are, and, you know, I just think it's kind of odd, you know?
No, it's really not. It's going to be standard pretty soon.
And you know, did the regulations change? Did somebody in the industry decide to change the regulations? Like, I understand that there are amendments to constitutions, there are amendments to a lot of different things. And I'm wondering, just did the amendment happen? You know, if there was
and that's the thing too. The Yankees didn't do this in like a sneaky way. Thanks for the call, Kathy. The Yankees didn't like cheat. These bats get checked. I just Googled MLB bat regulations. Rule 3.02 states that bats cannot be more than 2.6 inches in diameter. That's why I'm like, it's not 5 inches. 2.6 inches in diameter and 42 inches in length. While a typical bat has a rounded knob at the base, you know, like, it, I don't know. I just think it's like, this is something for outsiders looking in to be like, oh, they've got the, like, even Dave Portnoy. Dave Portnoy pissed me off this week because I'm like, aren't you, you run Barstool Sports. And we look at you as someone that knows about sports. And you have such a big audience and such a big name and platform. It's irresponsible for you to be going out there talking about the Yankees are cheating. They're using these gorilla bats. Anthony Volpe's not a good hitter. And now, look, he's hitting moonshots. Because I'm like, yo, stop this. People are going to believe that. And so Jazz even went out there to be like, you know, I got to go find Jazz's tweet because he was trying to get people to just shut up about it because it's much about nothing. They've been around. Cody Bellinger said the Cubs had him last year. Stanton used one in the postseason last year. Nobody said that while Stanton was hitting moonshots. Nobody said, oh, well, look at his bat. Jazz's explanation on Twitter. He said, okay, the barrel is bigger and within MLB regulation. For the idiots that say it's moved to the label, you're an idiot. Nobody is trying to get jammed. You just move the wood from the parts you don't use to the parts you do. You're welcome. It's very simple. And when you look at these bats, they're not, it's not like, remember when you used to play wiffle ball and you have the thin wiffle ball bat, the yellow bat, but then somebody comes with the big bazooka, like, you know, the wide wiffle ball bat. It's like, okay, now we're playing home run derby with this wiffle ball bat. It's not that drastic. And like I said, it's not the arrow. It's the archer. It is not the wand. It's the wizard. These torpedo bats aren't helping the Yankees against Corbin Burns and Zach Gallen. They struck out 30 times in the last two nights. So the thing about baseball, the hardest thing to do in all of sports is hit that damn ball. So I don't care what kind of bat you have. I don't care if you go up there with a tennis racket. If you can't hit a knuckle curve, you can't hit a knuckle curve. It doesn't matter the diameter of your bat. 888-808-1019. Bob is out in Los Angeles. Bob, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Good. You know, I want to talk about the Dodgers. I'm a Dodger fan and been a fan since 80. And I'm just sort of curious because I really value your opinion. And as you know, I think you're fair to the Dodgers, even after a difficult World Series, which the reality is, I still think you guys lost that as much as we want it, you know,
yep.
Realistically. So
absolutely.
I'm sort of looking at this team and I have to say, like, this is one of, on paper, I mean, I know as a Dodger fan, we've lost a lot more in the playoffs than we've won, certainly in the last 10 years. On paper, this is one of the best teams I've ever seen in any sport. And I'm just feeling like anything can happen. Injury, the Padres scare the life out of me more than the Mets or the Yankees, quite honestly. Is this one of the best assembled teams in our lifetime, 20, 30, 40 years?
Yeah, it's unfair, honestly, because of the loophole with the deferred payments. I was actually just reading an article about how the Mets' payroll is higher than the Dodgers. The Dodgers' payroll is second to the Mets at $321.3 million. The Mets' payroll is $323.1 million. Obviously, I'm getting tired here. I think I said that backwards. And the Dodgers is 321.3 million for the Mets. I'm doing this backwards again. The Dodgers, thanks to heavily deferred contracts of Shohei Ohtani and some of their biggest stars, have an opening day payroll of $321.3 million. The Mets payroll is $323.1 million. So that's like, I guess for this year. But with the deferred payments and how they've broken up these contracts, like, they would not be able to field this team if they didn't have all that deferred money, if everybody's getting the money up front. So that's why I say it's almost not fair, but it's a loophole because deferred contracts have been around forever. We've just never seen a team that has the attractive location of Chavez Ravine and being in LA, the attractive team with Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman's not even playing right now. They don't even need him. But, you know, all of these star players that guys will say, yeah, I want to play with them. Like Blake Snell, I wanted to be a Dodger. I'll defer money. I'll take, you know, less money and get it down the line because I want the chance to play with these good players and win. This is a ridiculously assembled team. I just was talking about how they got Ruiz and how they're not done. They're going to add. They got healthier in the offseason and guys are back. They're going to add at the trade deadline, before the deadline. They're going to keep stacking the deck.
Now, my question is this. I hear you. I mean, but the reality is, like, the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox, anybody can defer money, right?
Yeah, anybody is allowed to, but not everybody can pull it off. Shohei Ohtani set the precedent. Shohei Ohtani's contract made everybody else be able, like, if he was actually taking the money that he should be making as a two-position player, like, he started this. He started a ripple effect where everybody is now taking deferred payments and the payroll is flexible for them to have this many talented players.
I think the biggest issue, and I forget which team it was, it just sold, the Giants, I think, sold 10% to a fund. I think the biggest shift is that this is owned by Guggenheim. You know, like, I think it's owned by essentially an investment group that's not individual.
There were so many shows that I tried to talk about the Guggenheim partners, their private equity fund firms, how this is what they do. They invest money and they have banks and like, I guess Hal Steinbrenner could go get some people to help him. I'm sure Steve Cohen has those people as well, but like, they have cracked the code because the ownership group, like, this is exactly what their business is, and all of these guys have bought in. Like, Ohtani is deferring $68 million of his $70 million salary annually. He's getting $2 million, $1 million for each position he could play. Like, it's just unheard of. We've never seen anything like it.
I mean, I do think, realistically, you think about Hal Steinbrenner, you think about the future of Soto and the next, you know, the first billion-dollar player, if that ever happens. I do think that there's a real disadvantage of just being an old-money billionaire. I don't know if they're going to be able to hang on and spend the way. Even Steve Cohen, you have to add a zero to his net worth to rival Guggenheim. Like, that is a major shift. Forget the Seattle Mariners and the Baltimore Orioles. Well, I guess they had a billionaire. I do think something might have to happen, but I don't know how you can regulate investment. You know,
we're headed for it. After next season, after 2026, they're going to lock out because the little guys are crying poor and the big guys are even. Hal Steinbrenner said, well, nobody can do what the Dodgers are doing. You're the Yankees. You could. And even Hal Steinbrenner saying, we've spent $308 million. We're good right there. But it's like the what's the logic behind telling your fan base, we've spent enough. I don't feel like we need to spend the most to field a good team when the team that spent the most last year beat you in the World Series and then they doubled down in the offseason after and spent again.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the Dodgers, I haven't been able to watch on TV. I mean, one of my things that made me angry is Vin Scully's last year, the games were on, we're not anymore. I mean, the way it was a real snafu, and it's still on some kind of local bad cable network. For the first time yesterday, you can buy a local season pass, basically on MLB at bat, of the Dodgers, just the Dodgers. So for $30 a month, I'm watching every Dodger game. And I think it's kind of, there's some, it's sort of through the Dodgers themselves almost.
Aren't they with Time Warner Cable? I'm pretty sure when you go out there, the Dodgers games and the Lakers games are on Time Warner Cable's like channel.
Yeah, you're right. That's kind of like the second, third, or fourth banana out here usually after DirecTV and other things. So
and they own they, have like that is a whole nother revenue stream, and they don't have to worry about like. They don't have these issues with like, you know, Comcast wants to drop the YES Network. They don't have these issues with like, Bally Sports going bankrupt and the Cleveland Guardians not having a regional sports network to broadcast their games. And then, like, as I'm looking at this box score, they did 50,281 fans tonight. They did almost 10,000 more fans than the Yankees did tonight. They lead the league in attendance every year. They've got it all figured out.
So I do think for the first time ever, and again, I just feel lucky that it's, you know, that it happens to be my team. I think these teams are going to have the next 5 or 10 years, you know, Hal Steinbrenner is going to have to sell half the team to an investment group. Otherwise,
they're not
crying for it or being. Then if he doesn't, I don't know. I mean, I guess someone will make him stop crying poor.
But they're not selling. Like they made $412 million off ticket sales last year, an extra $109 million just for the October run to the World Series. They're good. If I go, like, they're evaluated at $8.2 billion. The money that they made last year, I was screaming, sign Juan Soto, give him what he wants, because you made more money than you ever made in the season last year. So they have the money. They just, like, I think Brian Cashman is who you're hearing speak through Hal, because Brian Cashman is saying, you know, we need a mix of homegrown talent. We don't need to do any more of these big contracts like we did for Jacoby Ellsbury, like we did for Giancarlo Stanton. And, you know, we can be able to compete with, and if you look at the Yankees, how they're built now, we can compete having cost-effective players like Austin Wells, Anthony Volpe, Jason Dominguez, Ben Rice, Luis Gil, Oswaldo Cabrera. Like, they, you know, they have some young guys that are playing, and that when these older guys and that money comes off, we'll see. I don't know. I don't think anybody's beating the Dodgers as of today.
Quick question for you, because it's something else. Honestly, I value your opinion about the Yankees more than my own opinion about the Yankees. Do you really believe in any of these young players? Like, there's no Jackson Merrill on the Yankees. There's no Bobby Witt. Who do you really believe in these young players?
Anthony Volpe's got 4 homers. I believe in Anthony Volpe. Austin Wells had that leadoff homer, hit another homer the next day. I believe in Austin Wells as the catcher. Luis Gil, when he gets back, rookie of the year, I believe in Luis Gil. Jason Dominguez got to prove it still, but, like, he's just built like an athlete. Like, I think he's going to do it. Ben Rice is another kid that he's a pure hitter. He punishes the ball. I definitely believe in some of these young Yankees. Thanks for the call, Bob. We're up against it here. 888-808-1019. It's 1230. Keith McPherson on the Fan. When we come back, I'll sprinkle in some more stuff. We'll look at the out-of-town scoreboard, and we'll talk about the Dodgers and some of these scores and what else went on in baseball today. BRB.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 864-SEASONS.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet NerdWallet's Smart Money podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money podcast wherever you listen.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Take WFAN to church, just like your dad did. Download the free Odyssey app today and listen to The Fan.
Okay. 888-808-1019. Let me take a call here before we get into some of the box scores, the out-of-town scoreboard, and what happened around Major League Baseball yesterday. Justin is in Floral Park on The Fan. What's up, Justin?
Jeez, how you feeling, brother?
I'm all right, champing it out. I got another 90 minutes or so till I can race home and go to, you know,
get
to sleep.
Get that Michael Jordan performance here. Let's go.
Yeah,
I just want to wish a happy birthday to my daughter. We went to the Ranger game tonight, 14 years old, had a great time. Listen, the cardiac Rangers just find a way to just keep my season alive here, and hopefully your Devils don't knock them out over the weekend. Because if they lose one more game, I think they're finished. Because
right now,
got a game in hand. But we do have the row on them, so we have the tiebreaker. If they end up tied, we have more regulation overtime wins than they do. But
79 points tied for the final wild card spot, and hanging on for dear life.
Yes, sir. So, you know, they brought that kid up today, Perot, who skipped Boston College. We'll see if how he does these final seven games, and away we go. As far as our Yankee goes, Keith, listen, I'm giving them 50 games. I'm not going crazy if they do well, if they do bad. You know, they got to get used to this new lineup, you know, defensively as well as just the whole new lineup. You know, they're going to have the games like this. Listen, Gallen had 13 strikeouts. I mean, what are you going to do? You tip your cap, you move on, you hopefully get a game here, and you go 4-2, you know, on a homestand, which is not bad, even though they started 3-0. You know, you take your chances, and, you know, we'll see what happens. Listen, this division is going to be wide open, I think. No one's going to be pulling away from it. And, you know, the Yankees are going to make a move at the end, even though the Dodgers look invincible. You know, they might get, you know, picked off by the Padres or the Diamondbacks. So, listen, Dodgers look great right now. They're finding ways to win, but it's a long season, as you know, Keith. And I just hope the Yankees, you know, this is just a little dust up, and I think they win tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. But I'm not worried about the Yankees until 50 games. I'll evaluate what this team is. I really ain't going crazy with them.
I'm right there with you, Justin. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. It sucks to lose. It sucks to lose a series, losing back-to-back games at home. It sucks to blow a lead and then also rally late and not be able to come through. But there were positives in both games. Will Warren, TW, the Will to Warren, him, you know, getting through that out and going five innings and kind of out-dueling Corbin Burns, even tonight. Rodon, you know, in the chat, they were just saying, you know, Rodon, in the past, Rodon would get pulled. And instead, he gutted it out and he kind of saved the bullpen some after. You know, you got to look for the positives early in the season because these games, you're going to lose games. They're not deciding anything. You know, Volpe, super positive. Leave him exactly where he is. Let him keep doing what he's doing with his torpedo bat. Wells, even though, like I said, they struck out 30 times in the last 2 days. Wells didn't strike out tonight. And, you know, speaking of the strikeouts, Zach Gallen was on. He was balling. He was locked in. And, you know, that's why you got to try and secure that win against Corbin Burns. Well, After facing Corbin Burns and Zach Gallen, the Yankees will dodge Paul Skenes. I don't know if you guys saw Paul Skenes and Livy Dunn, their photo shoot there in GQ, LSU, superstars, millionaires. Well, Paul Skenes dominated in the Yankees spring training home. The Yankees head out to Pittsburgh. They will not see him. He's down there at the boss, George M. Steinbrenner Field. He goes 7 innings, 3 hits, 0 runs, 0 walks, 6 Ks. Easy. You know who else dominated? And, I mean, he looked all right on opening day, but the Yankees were able to get to him. Freddie Peralta. Freddie Peralta gets back out on the mound against the Kansas City Royals, and he goes 8 innings, giving up 2 hits, only 1 run, 8 strikeouts. Good for Freddie Peralta. You know, when I'm looking around Major League Baseball, too, and, you know, looking at the Diamondbacks are 4-2, and they've just won back-to-back series to start the season. I think they faced the Cubs, and they beat the Cubs in the first series that they had. But at 4-2, right, they are in fourth place in the NL West. The Dodgers are 8-0. The Padres are 7-0. The San Francisco Giants are 5-1. And of course, the Rockies are 1-4. But, you know, the Diamondbacks, I think they're going to be pretty solid based off their pitching and their lineup and even their bullpen. I think they're going to be a solid competitive team. This is a team that was in the World Series with a lot of these characters just 2 years ago. You know, right now, when you look at the American League East, the Toronto Blue Jays are about to come to New York. They're in first place. They're 5-2. Tampa, 4-2. The Yankees, 3-2. Just haven't played as many games as them. Baltimore, 3-3. Boston Red Sox, 2-4. Let's go down to New Orleans and talk to Glenn on the Fan. Welcome back, Glenn.
Hey, it'll be okay, Guggenheim.
It'll be better than okay.
And your tour's almost up for the night. Talking about some of the pitching performances, and, you know, I'm a Boston fan, so Crochet had 8 innings, 4 hits, no walks, I think 8 punch-outs. He looked good at this kind of performance that I expected to see on opening day. Didn't get it from him. As far as their players, yeah, Devers finally got a couple of hits. Their best player, the best player on the team so far this season, is Christian Campbell, the second base.
Yep, and he got paid.
I'm glad I saw that they extended him. The Yankees, people don't have to worry about anything. The Yankees are going to be there. You go up against people like Gallen and Schuble and Castillo. Good pitching beats good hitting, and that's why great starting pitching is still, to me, the number one priority in the game of baseball.
So yep.
That's just my take on it, Keith. Hope you enjoyed the NCAA tournament, and I'll be listening, and I'll call you again as the baseball season rolls on.
Thanks for the call, Glenn. Have a good one. 888-808-1019. I have enjoyed March Madness, and I have a bracket, and I'm so mad at myself because I did the dumbest thing. I have the correct Final Four, but, like, the math was not mathing. The number that I put for my championship total, the total combined final score, I put 135 points. I think I had dyslexia. I meant to put 153. I'm like, 135 points? Bro, I'm like, 135. Like, that'd be the women's score. I know I'm going to end up botching this. And, it's just so stupid. It's just a mistake that you make when I made like 4 different brackets. But the bracket that I have Auburn, I have Florida, I have Duke, I have Houston. I have Florida versus Houston in the championship. I have Houston as my national champion, and I have 135 points as the combined total. Now, this is in the WFAN 2025 Bracket Challenge. Mark Malusis and his fifth bracket, they are number one. And he has the same Final Four, the same championship, the same winner, but he put 157 points. So when Mark wins, I'm going to be mad because I'm going to be like, I could have possibly been there, but I made an error. You know, there's another person, Stephen Fishman, got the same Final Four, correct Final Four, got the same matchup, Florida versus Houston. What's his total? 179. So if it's a high-scoring game, he's going to win over Mark. And there's one other person, I think, in front of me with the same combination. Yep, Mark Weiss. Same Final Four, but he's got Auburn in the championship versus Houston. So actually, that doesn't count. Here it is. Jackie Cavendish. She's got the same Final Four. No, she doesn't. She has Alabama, so she won't be in it. I think there's three winners. So actually, if it's Florida versus Houston and Houston wins, I'll cash the third one. I'm just mad because I'm like, why would you put them to score like for the score to be like for the score to be like 66, 68, 66 or something? Like, oh, bro. Or not 68, 66. Like, 68, 67 would be the score total for that. Dumb. I'm right there. Anyway, 888-808-1019. No one cares about March Madness because all everyone's talking about is torpedo bats and now the Yankees striking out and Pete Alonso and Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers and Jackson Merrill and his contract and Christian Campbell and his contract and Ketel Marte and his contract and Paul Skeens dominating and Livy Dunn and Paul Skeens on the cover of GQ. And what else happened? Oh, after Mark Leiter Jr. blew it, Al Leiter's kid, Jack Leiter, said, I gotta repair the family name. He goes out there today and he absolutely shoves. He goes out there today, he throws five innings, only gives up one hit, six Ks. And the Texas Rangers are able to win 1-0. And he did that against Ellie De La Cruz and the Red Sox. Or the Red Sox. I know Ellie De La Cruz is not on the Red Sox. And the Reds. Jose Trevino and the Reds. Anyway, 888-808-1019. Let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. I already told you about Paul Skeens dominating. The Pirates beat the Rays down at George M. Steinbrenner Field 4-2. I already told you about Freddie Peralta dominating. The Brewers, in 11 innings, were able to beat the Royals 3-2 to take that series after the Royals smacked them 11-1 in their home opener. Look at the Cardinals. Just when you think the Cardinals are going to be trash and selling everybody off and Nolan Arenado's going to be a Yankee. I mean, Nolan Arenado's balling. He's batting 391. Let me click on him right now. He's batting 391. I'm like, how many homers he got right now? One homer, nine hits, six ribbies. What's his OPS? 1109 OPS. Nolan Arenado, come on down. They're not going to send him now. But the Cardinals go out there today. They put out 12 runs on the Angels, somewhere Albert Pujols was watching. And I did see Trout homer. I did see Mike Trout get his first homer of the season. Still got it. One of the GOATs. One of the greatest. The White Sox host the Twins. They get smacked 6-1. Pablo Lopez holds it down for the Twins. The Blue Jays, like I was telling y'all, the Blue Jays in first place. They're about to step right up and greet the Mets. You guys going to cheer for Vladdy, your future first baseman, or you guys going to be all over Pete? I mean, it was just a couple months ago that we were talking about Pete Alonso coming back with the Blue Jays and how awkward that was going to be at Citi Field. I got Fleegs with me. Fleegs, you were in Miami for, weren't you in Miami? I think I saw on your Twitter. You were there for the first game of the Marlins series?
First two games.
Okay, so you were there for the first two games. Pete did damage in that first game too.
That was the Grand Slam game, yeah.
Yeah, so
right. Nobody on the Mets really did any damage in the second game.
Yeah, right. So right now, I've been pumping Pete up. I'm like, it's Pete's team. Pete's the face of the franchise. And what I love about Pete is his professionalism. All the stuff that happened, where I'm sure some of that rubbed him the wrong way. Some fans even saying, whatever, we don't need him. We got Soto, whatever, good riddance. You know, Vientos can play first base or whatever. Like, this guy is carrying the team. This guy's saying all the right things in the media. He's telling people, hey, Friday, be there, be square. He's talking about Citi Field and how, you know, the fans have embraced him. despite some of the struggles of Brett Beatty, despite some of the struggles of Vientos, even Lindor, you know, he had the paternity leave and he historically starts slow. Like, you're a Met fan that I don't know if you're a Pete guy, but like, you know, for us to be in this reality where Juan Soto is a Met and it's not Juan Soto dominating, but it's Pete, your thoughts going down there and seeing it and how you feel going into the opener.
Well, I am a Pete guy. Like, I've pointed out some of the flaws in his game throughout his career, but I think it's slanted too far recently. Now people are knocking parts of his game that are good and underrating him. And I'll say this, being at the game in Miami, or both games. Now, it was a pro-Mets crowd. There were way more Mets fans there than Marlins fans there.
All Mets.
Which you'd expect for either of the New York teams being down there. But outside of, like, you know, when they do the introductions and the lineups before the game and when a player comes to bat, the loudest cheers there were for Soto. But during the game, when somebody's up at bat, outside of people cheering, "Let's go Mets," the loudest chants were Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
And that. Pete is still, maybe publicly there's negative comments about him. The fan base, and we saw this in the offseason, the fan base is so firmly behind Pete Alonso.
Yeah, because what I said, too, is, like, there are kids that, like, got into baseball when they were single-digit age, and now they're teenagers, and they've watched Pete Alonso for these last few years, and that's their guy. And, like, for Pete to still be here and still be producing, like, I think he's on his way to having an all-star year. I think he's on his way to having a year where he's going to opt out of that contract, and he's going to want more money. And that's a good thing. That's what you should want as a Mets fan. That's what you should want. For him to dominate, for him to, like, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to hit. If Lindor's going to start off slow, if Soto's going to work his walks, and not for nothing, you know, he had a couple ground outs and he had pitches to hit, but just didn't get it done. It's not going to be every day. It's baseball. It's a humbling sport. It's a game of failure. Man, Pete balled out today, and he balled Monday. He won you the series, and you come home to Citi Field and you still have your guy. I think it just sets the stage for, you know, for the start of this run. Are you going to opening day?
I am, yeah.
I think I heard Sal today talking about how he's not going to opening day because he's got to work. And he's like, you know, I've got the midday show and then I want SNY after. And he's like, you know, it's not a priority anymore. But I'm like immediately thinking about Evan last year, how, like, Evan dipped off from the show. I would expect Evan to be there. I'm going opening day. I'm going opening day and I'll come here after. But, like, it's opening day, and if you're, like, an actual fan of the team, like, there's nothing like opening day. I said this past opening day, I have more fun at opening day than my birthday and Christmas combined. Like, I'm at the age now where Christmas to me is not, like, Christmas, I'm, like, almost ready for Christmas to be over. My birthday to me, I lay low, I don't care. Opening day is, like, a family reunion. Opening day is a drinking holiday. Opening day is a baseball holiday. Like, the stadium's back open. It is, like, it's just a festival. It's a baseball carnival. So, like, I don't know. If you can go to the game, why not go to the game? I wonder if they're going to do what they did in the postseason where they, like, added extra standing room tickets, where they added extra, not extra seats.
I know there are some standing room only tickets available.
I think they'd be wise.
They usually only do them for, like, opening day, Subway Series, playoffs.
I think they'd be wise to do it, especially because Cohen called on the fans to show up. And winning the game, winning the series, getting out of Miami and coming home, like, there's going to be a lot of juice for that. The weather is going to be interesting. The weather, well, I mean, it doesn't matter, but hopefully it doesn't rain it out. Right now it's saying Friday there's going to be rain in New York.
I've been tracking it right now. It has the rain ending at noon for a 3:00 game. Which means nothing based on how wrong they are, but the last few days they've had the game in the clear.
I think I heard that they're opening up the parking lot at noon. So, I mean, hopefully the rain clears away, and and you guys can have your day. You can have your opening day and all of the hype of the season. And, you know, it's good to get back home. These guys get to get back to their families. They've been on the road. They go 3-3 on the road, starting in Houston, going to Miami. They get back to, you know, Citi Field, and I'm sure there's going to be some new things. Obviously, the five borough race. There's, you know, there's going to be the giraffe and the fairy and the pizza slice. I'm not even trolling, but it's like there is, you know, there's a lot to look forward to here. And I think that, you know, Pete Alonso and his heroics in Miami really helped the vibes and the energy going into opening day. 888-808-1019. Let's take a break here. When we come back, I'll finish the out-of-town scoreboard. When we come back, I'll take more of your calls. I just need to break. I gotta cough and I gotta take a drink of water. Fleek, can we break here? Are we good? Yeah, let's take a break here. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.